Lord, we thank you that your voice is the only voice that we listen to today as we hear your word, as we learn from your truth. Show us a side that we've never seen of you before, Father. Let us hear things that we don't know about you. Share with us mysteries that have been kept locked from us all these years. Father, we open ourselves up to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and no other voice has permission to speak to us in Jesus' name. But we now receive the truth from the Holy Spirit, and that's a voice that we tune our hearts and our minds to. And Lord, I pray that you will wash us with your word even now, that the purity and the strength of the word of God will just wash us clean, that we can have a fresh perspective on who you are and what you want from us and what you want to be to us and the relationship you want to have with us, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for our time together. I thank you, Father, that we could call you Father. You're the only God qualified to be called Father. And we thank you, Lord, for this privilege. We thank you, Jesus, for your entrance to the Father, for preparing the way. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our help, our leader, and our teacher. And we hook into all these attributes of who you are. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So our lesson today is called The Importance of Knowing the Truth. The importance of knowing the truth. In America, sometimes we could take for granted the Bible because we have so much of it available to us. We have so many versions. We have it electronically. There's no one telling us we can't read the Bible, except, of course, if you're in a public office or in school. We have so many avenues and highways to the Bible that it can become a very familiar piece of literature that we forget that it is absolute truth and that it is God-breathed and that it is the Word of God and that it was inspired, it was written by the Holy Spirit, where men of old were inspired and they wrote the Word of God. So we have to get that perspective as we're talking about the importance of knowing the truth. So when I say truth, I'm talking absolute truth, which is only found in one source, and that is the Word of God, okay? Let's go to the first scripture we're going to look at, and that is John 8:32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And most of you already know this verse, but we're going to break it down. And we're going to go through it piece by piece. So let me get my version up here. This is what it says in John 8:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's stop with just that verse just to start this off. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? Now, a lot of people think that just the truth will set you free. So because truth exists, it will set you free. Well, if you ask a person who was wrongfully convicted of a crime and spent years paying for that crime, we would know that that statement isn't true, to say just the truth will set you free. Because the truth is they didn't commit the crime, but the fact that they didn't commit the crime did not set them free. It was that nobody knew the truth. Somebody believed a lie. Basically, the jury or the judge, the decision makers of the situation, believe they lie. As a result, the person was wrongfully imprisoned. Okay? So we have to have an understanding that just because we know a Bible verse, it doesn't mean that Bible verse will help us or we could be freed by it. Knowing a Bible verse doesn't mean that you can walk in the freedom of it. How many verses did you memorize as a kid when you were in Sunday school, if you were, you know, Christian when you were little? How many verses do we tell our kids to memorize? But a lot of times, they just memorize it, right? But there's no understanding of what it means. So they don't know the truth of the verse. They just know the verse. They know the words. They could tell you all the words that are part of the verse. You could say all the words that are part of lots of verses, that if you knew the truth about it, some things in your life would change. Okay? So let's look at these three parts of that verse that I wrote down here. Knowing, setting, and freedom. Here's what happens when you really know the truth. When you really know the truth, you will get a new setting on the subject of which the truth you're reading about is found out. Do you understand? Now, this new setting will happen in your mind. Okay? So here is how you should choose to live your life. Yesterday, if you had a failure, like you attempted something, you tried to do something, and it failed yesterday, then between yesterday and today, you need to find out the truth concerning that failure. And you need to renew your mind concerning that truth, because something went awry. You understand? Now, failure doesn't mean that it went from 0 to 500, you know, between yesterday. And so if it didn't go from 0 to 500, you failed. Failure simply means the thing remained where it is, or it got worse in whatever situation. You understand? Success would be that it's actually changing in the direction of truth. In order for us to know something is changing in the direction of truth, we have to know what the direction of truth looks like. Right? So whatever your situation, when you're dealing with... See, sometimes we get lazy as Christians. And we just throw out prayers out there, you know. Oh, Lord, do this. Bam. And we go about our everyday life, and we're not engaged with the process of what we've just asked him to do. We're just kind of like hanging out. Like, God will take care of it. Well, yeah, so what's your part? Right? Don't be such a diligent, hard worker in life and a lazy Christian. Because that could happen. You could be a hard worker. You're like, everybody's like, man, that's a really hard worker. But when it comes to your Christian walk and your faith and your belief and your spiritual fight, you could be very lazy and very unskilled simply because you're not practicing. You're not working out in the spiritual realm. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're leaving all the heavy lifting to somebody else. But it has to do with your life. So you have to take the things that pertain to your life, and you have to do the heavy lifting, and you get help when it's too heavy, right? That's why we have each other. We get help. But it doesn't mean that you get help and they're doing all the lifting. You're just kind of hanging out, drinking, you know, pineapple juice somewhere. It's like, you know, they've got it all under control. I'm just chilling. No, you have to be engaged. And you have to be engaged at the truth level. If you don't believe the truth, you will remain trapped in a lie. That's just all there is to it. If you do not believe the truth, you will remain trapped in a lie. And a life for everybody is different. It's all based on what you believe. So this is why knowing the truth will automatically change a setting in your mindset. And because the Word of God is alive, every time you read the scripture and you ask the Holy Spirit for revelation on it, there should be a change in your mindset about the truth of that scripture. It should happen all the time. It shouldn't be like, okay, yeah, I know what that's. I'm sure you've read the scripture before, have you not? But have you ever seen it in this light? Never. Neither have I. So you see how the Holy Spirit is alive and breathing, and the Word of God is breathing and alive? Because we get to unravel different levels of the scripture. You see? But we have to diligently look for it. We have to want it. The Holy Spirit stuff is so valuable. God's word is so valuable that he doesn't just throw it at us. We have to seek it. We have to want it. We have to consider it so priceless that we guard it with our life. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, right? Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. So the word of God is, first of all, we have to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. The word of God is absolute truth. In release time, we tell the kids the word of God is all true. There is no lie in what God says. Because God is creator, with a capital C. So whatever comes out of his mouth, if it hasn't existed before, it has just started existing. Okay? So we have to know the truth. When we know the truth, we change our setting. That new setting gives you another level of freedom. There are different levels of freedom. Some people can't handle a certain level of freedom because if they had it, they would hurt themselves with it. Like, for example, I would not give my three-year-old a machete knife. I mean, that would just be crazy. Because instead of using it against an enemy, he might use it on himself. Even though he's free, he's a free person, and he could have one if he could own it, if he wanted to. Somebody wanted to give him as a gift, they're free to do that. But I would have to intercept it, and I would have to protect that freedom from him until he is of age to handle it. Okay? Well, it's the same thing with the scriptures. Sometimes there's some levels of truth that you would take it and you would not possibly believe it. So it's more harmful for you to know it because you're turning it against yourself. You're hurting yourself with it instead of hurting the enemy with it. Does that make sense? So that's why you have to think about verses that you knew growing up. You know, you memorized all this stuff and you knew all this stuff. Today, they should have a different level of truth that you never saw. Simply because it is living, breathing, it is alive. The things that I had the skill level in when I was younger, when I typed on the manual typewriter, pressing them keys like bam, 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 you know, and all these fingers had to be in the right place and all this stuff. Okay. I am now on a keyboard on a computer where the backspace key is right there. My finger knows right where it is. Backspace, backspace. See, when you did the manual typewriter, you made an excuse. You made an error. You have to stop, get the white out, put it on the paper, wait for it to dry, backspace, hope that you hit it right. You know what I'm saying? You see how much work that was? But that's the level of expertise I had. And that's the only equipment I had to work with. That was the highest level of equipment than writing it with your own handwriting. But do you see how technology has progressed over the years? Well, why would we think that a piece of equipment could be enhanced? You know, like a process could get better in the natural, a process of doing things get better in the natural. Why wouldn't the Word of God get better for us? It's not dead. It's alive. It gets better. It gets better. I just saw a video clip yesterday from CBN had the documentary about Israel and its inventions. I don't know if anybody saw it. And there are so many pieces of equipment being developed to detect disease. in Israel. It's in testing stage right now. For example, one of them, they created this breathing, it's like a breathalyzer, a little iPod-looking computer thing, that could smell different diseases in your body just from your breath. And there, it's at a 87 to 97% accuracy right now to diagnose different diseases, including cancer. They have another machine that they have developed that is an external pancreas. It's an electronic pancreas. And this young girl is a ballerina, and she is using it as one of the test subjects. And it gives her a warning. So it tells her body to produce insulin. It tells her body to produce. It overrides what her pancreas wouldn't do. And it takes the place of the pancreas and sends signals to her body, tell it what to do. It's like the most amazing thing. But they were saying how all of these inventions are coming from Israel, these doctors in Israel, and they are saying how God created the body. They're using that same concept of how God created the body to find out, because they say God wants to heal the body. And you know what I'm saying? So they're going from the perspective of healing, where you don't have to take x-rays anymore. All that you're trying to detect cancer, but the things you're detecting it with could possibly cause cancer. You see what I'm saying? So this is where they're eliminating all the side effects of the diagnosis things that they use. You see? But the thing is, way back when, there wasn't even the stuff they have today. You see? But so how much more could we get out of the Word of God? So what I want to challenge you today is this. Every scripture you read concerning a subject you are believing on, whatever subject that may be, I want you to look for the no. What do you need to know from it? I want you to look for the new setting of what you have to change your mindset on concerning the subject that you're knowing about. And then I want you to look at what you should expect to be free in. Because the verse should take you to a freedom. The Word of God, when you know the truth will set you free. Okay? So you have to decide. So let's go through a process here. I have so many other scriptures, but everybody's staring at me, so let me walk you through it. Like, what? Okay. In order to find out the freedom factor of any verse, you have to identify where you are. Okay? So you have to find the lie that has bound you. No one wants to admit that there's a lie. So you have to first get rid of denial if that's your problem. Denial has to get out the window. Because denial is another form of a lie. All right? If somebody came to you and said that, you know, you're bleeding. Like, I see blood on you. Where's this blood coming from? There's no blood. I'm not bleeding. But I'm looking at you right now, and there's somewhere on your body, there's blood. We need to find it so we can take care of it. No, I believe that I have no blood. I'm not, well, that's crazy. Okay? Don't be in denial. That's a lie. The other way to look at, if you're believing for healing, let's say there's a sickness that has come and overtake your body. You're believing for healing. You don't deny that the sickness is there in the case that you don't deny this is an enemy that's attacking your body. You don't deny it. You simply deny it of its authority to operate in your body. So, ways that you could deny something in its authority is that you take over the authority. So in the case of with mom, with cancer, we as much as we can catch ourselves, we never called it her cancer because they're not friends. We called it the cancer because that's the enemy. Okay? In contrast, when we went for chemo treatment weekly and stuff, there was this lady that we kept seeing a lot. And she would come in and she knew everybody and she was very loud, like you knew she was there, kind of like me. But it's kind of like walking in the mirror. But so I thought, wow, she's really familiar. We're like having this conversation, like maybe she was a nurse, like because she knew all the medical terms of everything. She was even telling the nurses which needle to use on her because, oh, that's not going to work. You got to use this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, she must be like a nurse or something, like must work in this field, and now she has this problem and like whatever. So finally one day, after we went there a couple times and got to know nurses a bit, I just casually said, oh, I guess that lady there, she must have worked with you guys at some point because she seemed to be very familiar with the... Sorry. She goes, oh, no. She's a beautician. She's a cosmetologist or something. I went, oh, okay, well, she really knows a lot about what you guys do. She goes, oh, well, she's had this for 6 years. She's been taking chemo for 6 years. I said, really? She said, yeah. It just keeps coming back. Well, one day, she happened to be sitting right next to us where we were, and I hear this woman's conversation, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my. If cancer decides to drop her as a client, she would be so devastated. She would have nothing else to do in life. Because her entire conversation was about her cancer. And then with her taking chemo for so long, there are all these side effects that developed. So she had about 5 or 6 specialists that she was consistently seeing. And you could tell she was a strategic thinker because in her head, she would say to the nurses, well, I need to have this done today because I'm going to... She had this whole map, you know, of all this strategy that she plotted out of all these specialists she was going to see because of this, her friend, cancer. And I'm thinking to myself, they are the best buddies ever. So I would have to tell Mom, Mom, you don't listen to any of those side effects because none of them's coming on you. I don't think so. Do you know what I'm saying? Because we all want to be comfortable in life. This is the bottom line. We all want to be comfortable. When you have a civilization that's living under tents and whatever else, eventually somebody's going to figure out you could build a wooden structure and it'll keep out the wind better. All that's for comfort, right? Comfort and safety. Well, if you find that you're fighting something that you don't want to be there to begin with, and it keeps sticking around, you will find a way to live with it. You will develop a relationship with it so that you can get along without conflict. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so if you can't fight it, you will want to befriend it. That is a lie. Becoming a friend of the enemy is living a lie. Because who becomes the boss then? The enemy becomes the boss. You never want the enemy to be the boss. Who is supposed to be the boss if we want to say boss? Who's supposed to be the boss? Yeah, God's supposed to be the boss of my life because I gave my life to him. You understand? He gave his life for me, and in return, I purposefully and willingly gave my life to him, and I asked him to be Lord of my life. If I now choose to listen to another Lord, lowercase Lord, I have now broken my conviction or covenant that I set up with me and my Lord that I said I want Jesus to be Lord. Do you see? The enemy will not come in and tell you, could I please be your Lord? Please. I've always wanted to be Lord of your life. Please, pretty please. You'll laugh and say, I don't think so. But if he beats you up enough where you think you can never win, guess what? You will give him the position willingly. And this is key to know. You have to declare. If you don't know what else to do when something's happening, you have to declare, Jesus is Lord of my life. Like, you just have to say it out loud. Like, just tick him off. Tick your enemy off. Don't give up the lordship position in your life to somebody else. You cannot. Because once you do that, you are toast. Isn't that what Eve did? That's really what Eve did, you know. She took her position and she did not stand in it properly. She was given authority and dominion over all them creepy crawly things, all them stuff that swim in the sea, all the beasts that walked around. The only thing she was not given authority over was Adam and God. Everything else, she was given dominion over. Isn't that what God did in the garden? She had the same dominion as Adam did. And what did she do? She listened to an instruction from someone she had dominion over. And she didn't just listen to their instruction. She overrode the instruction from the source that she always got instruction from. She overrode it. She took this animal she's supposed to have dominion over, she took their word over her God. Do you understand? So she removed herself from her position. And because she did that, she had a lie come into her life. A lie. She believed a lie. So this is why it is important for us to understand who we are in Christ. You heard that term all the time, Christian. Who you are in Christ. Well, who you are in Christ is important, because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you're going to believe a lie. You're going to revert back to who you are educationally, who you are in work experience, who you are in the family line, who you are in the cultural status of people. That's what you're going to go back to. But if we realize who we are in Christ takes us up to levels that nobody can touch, that is big. That's huge. So if you have a problem with that part of your life, your scripture for today that you're going to go home and do the no set free thing on is that. Find scriptures that says who you are in Christ and reset the mind on the subject. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So everybody understand this whole no set free concept? Okay. Now, let me go back to my notes here. All right. John 17:17. Says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is Jesus talking to God. The whole chapter of John 17, if you have time to read that whole chapter, this is where Jesus is having a conversation with God about us. The whole thing. He's having a conversation with God about us. So you want to hear the truth about what Jesus thinks about you is what he's reporting to God. You understand? And so if the enemy is telling you who you are, this is a good chapter to read, John 17, because say, nope, that's not what Jesus said about me. Okay? If you don't know the truth, you can't be freed by it. That's just all there is to it. You cannot live free by the truth. all these cutesy little things that we are part of in Christianity, you know, cutesy little groups, cutesy little churches, beautiful worship, wonderful singing. Oh, it felt beautiful. But if your personal life is a complete disaster, you're missing something. You know what I'm saying? You're missing something. It doesn't mean the fight's not going to come to you. As a matter of fact, probably the more you are standing in authority, the more the fight's going to try to come to you, because the whole point of the fight is to break you down. But once you know who you are, what God says he does, and that it doesn't matter how long a fight goes on, you never losing, that's pretty much it. You could then live normal and have the fight happening, and you know what to say and what to do and how to stand. You don't have to be so involved that your whole life is consumed by it. Do you understand? But the time to build that status up and to build the truth up in you is when it's not happening. Which country sends the soldiers on the battlefield as boot camp training? Like, who sends a soldier to the battlefield and says, that's your boot camp? Not unless it's a suicide mission and they have nobody else to send. So, oh, let's send them all out there. Even the person going out there doesn't want to go because they're not prepared. What if they send them on the front line? They send them to operate the tank. You know, the tank with the... And they have never seen a tank, never touched one, don't know how to shoot a gun, much as a tank. What are the odds of success? Like 0%. It would take an angel to show up in there with them and do the job. Do you understand? But listen, the great news is this. Even as Christians, if we're ever put in that situation, we know where to get help from. You see? So in the natural, a soldier needs to be trained so they can be called a soldier. Until they're trained, they're not called a soldier, right? They're called a rookie. Is that what they're called? Like, you know, they're not really a soldier yet. But you get trained to be a soldier. It's no different in our Christian life. And it doesn't matter about what gender you are. You are a soldier. It doesn't matter about your age. You are a soldier. Okay? Now, in John 17:21, Jesus said that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. If you read the verses surrounding this verse, the thing that ties us together as one is the truth that we believe as the same. So a lot of people ask, how come there's such division in the body of Christ? And all these churches and there's division. You know what the difference is? Is what they believe about God. That's really what the difference comes down to. What they believe about God. The level that you should hook up, so to speak, or link yourself up with another Christian should be at their level of truth. Do not go past what they don't believe about God, about the Word. Do I need to explain that more? Okay. The thing that will cause death. Does anybody know the thing that will cause death to a Christian? What is the thing that could cause death? Right. Well, right. Basically, the thing that really, what it comes down to, the thing that causes death is to believe a lie. I mean, like, there's lots of ways to say it, but that's the core. Because that's what Eve did. And that's when they died. Because he said, the serpent said to her, you won't surely die. Lie. So she took the lie and she acted on the lie. I wouldn't die if I disobey God. You see? the reason for her death really was that she disobeyed God. If she, for example, if the serpent had stayed possessed with Satan, we know that Satan possessed the serpent, okay? If the serpent stayed possessed by Satan, had a conversation with Eve, Adam came along, had a little conversation with the serpent too and everything else, and they were having this conversation, but nobody took action based on the serpent's conversation, they would still have been alive, correct? Because they wouldn't have disobeyed God. God didn't tell them not to talk to Satan. He never told them that, right? He said, don't eat of this tree. So the instruction they needed to follow from God was not to eat from the tree. So if they had left it at a conversation, they would have still been alive. There would have been no death. But how many know that when you try to prove a truth, you could inadvertently be trying to prove a lie wrong by doing the lie? Okay. When you're trying to prove a truth, you could try to prove a lie wrong by actually doing the lie. To say, see, I'll show you if I do it, you understand what I'm saying? It's a trap. So a lie will always come as a trap. It's because none of us would say we want to lie, right? I mean, nobody would say, well, yeah, you know, what was more thought? If I lied to God, I wonder what would happen. Like, nobody thinks that way. That's a Christian, correct? But how many people really do believe a lie? As a Christian, they believe a lie simply because it was a trick. It was a trap. But we know that even if you were deceived, because that's the only way you buy lies to be deceived, even if you were trapped, whatever, however it happens, it's still not an excuse with God. The consequences does not go away because of how he dealt with Adam and Eve and the serpent. Well, but he forgave. The question is, if they had asked for forgiveness, would he forgive them and leave them in the garden? We know that God prepared a sacrifice for the forgiveness of what they just did, but that did not still keep them in the garden. And the Bible tells us the reason why they couldn't stay in the garden is simply because they would have eaten from the tree of life. It has been proven they can't hold restraint. If he tells them, don't eat now from the tree of life because you have sinned and you'll live forever in sin, they... Their track record indicates that they could have been tricked again. Do you understand? And then now mankind will live in eternal sin and damnation.
And there were consequences in play already.
Death had already occurred because of their sin. Okay? Proving a lie is not true.
Right.
Yeah.
So we are not to be proving truth. We're to be obeying truth. Is that what you
yes. Mean? Bingo, if you say such a thing. Okay. So here's light bulb. You never want to prove that a lie is wrong or that a truth is true. You simply believe the truth. And when you know the truth, your setting changes and your freedom increases. You keep knowing it more. You understand? Okay, so here comes another point in this knowing the truth about the word. You are now in charge of how it works for you. Whatever level of revelation you receive from knowing and having a new setting about a truth. Every person gets a different revelation from God based on where we are, correct? Whatever revelation you have received, you are now responsible for how you use it in reference to the armor of God, right? Remember, we're soldiers, we're in armor, right? So if you're taking your armor to show off with, you're gonna fall in a trap.
Yes.
And that's what the trap is. So always think of the revelation God gives you in light of an armor that you're wearing. And don't use your armor for show and tell. Okay? Because our job is to fight the good fight of faith. If soldiers get busy taking all the equipment they know how to use, all of their outfit, their armor, everything they wear for war, if they get trained, they know how to use it, they're completely trained, they could be the most elite of the elite. And if they take all of that and decide to do a tour of the country they're from and just showcase how awesome they are, what are the chances that an enemy can invade their country and they're not ready because they're off showboating somewhere? Okay? So the truth that you know and the revelation God gives you on any subject is not to show off with. It is to use when it is needed. We don't have to show off against the enemy. We don't have to show off God's power against the enemy. Jesus already made a show of him openly. That part's already been done. So we don't have to walk around flexing our supernatural muscles. That brings glory to us. But if the enemy would dare come knock at your door, then there should be a rude awakening. This is why I don't go after people that speak badly of me or, you know, think evil of me or thinks I'm terrible. I don't go after them to prove them wrong. They're already wrong. I don't have to prove it. Do you understand? I have to stick with what I'm supposed to do. Let your tree bear fruit. Let people eat the fruit. They'll make their own decisions. You understand? You don't have to prove yourself. That is such a trap. It is such a trap. And it brings glory to us. It brings glory to us all the time. It does not give glory to God. Even if somebody compliments you, it should be because they saw God working in you. So God still gets the glory. You couldn't have done it without God. You couldn't be you without God. You understand? Amen. But to be this showboating, you know, let me show you just how great, you know, that is just crazy. You're setting yourself up for a trap. As part of writing this book, I came across this verse in Job, you know, when God was talking to Job about who he is, like, did you know when I was doing this? And do you know when I was doing that? And one of the things God said was, do you have to deal with all the proud and put them down at the right time and lift? And do you have to deal with all the government of the world? I thought to myself, hey, think about this. Think about what a huge burden lifts off us when God's the one that has to decide when a proud person falls. Just think about the work involved in that alone. That God actually keeps track of what's the tipping point for the proud to fall. If you get a revelation of that truth, you don't have to be waiting, looking out the window. Did they fall yet? Did they fall yet? When are they going to fall? I thought they'd fall by now. It should be none of your business. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to rejoice in their fall. And the Bible says, don't rejoice when the unrighteous, when something happens to the unrighteous, don't rejoice. Ha, ha, ha. Because that brings in pride, another trap. So we should stop being in the business of trying to prove truth. We shouldn't try to prove truth. It's already been proven. We need to be in the business of knowing truth. You see? Okay. Oh, 10 more minutes. Okay. So I was talking about this verse about how we know the right people to be considered one with. It has to be people who believe the truth. Don't just go around the place saying, because they're Christians, then we're one. You're not. If they don't believe in the Holy Spirit and they deny him and like really talk bad about the Holy Spirit, I would stay far. I would like not touch them, because really, we don't know when that tipping point is going to be. And you don't have to try to prove it either. You see? You can give, you can make, create, make yourself in such a way, always, make yourself in such a way that people can come ask you to, about the truth of something that God has given you a revelation about. You understand? They will find you. You give them the truth. You give them what God has. But don't try to convince them, because that would become manipulation. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts, right? I don't have to try to convict someone, but I should know when to step back, because then it becomes a trap for me. Right? So I've already told you that a lie will keep you bound. It's never not going to bind you. A lie is designed to tie you up and to have leverage over you. So a lie can come in the form of a hidden mistake. Let's talk about lies for a minute. A lie can be a hidden mistake. Right? Now, this is not talking about what you were like before Christ and all this stuff, whatever you did. Who cares? I mean, it's done. It's over. Put it under the blood. Wash it in the sea and all that stuff. It's gone. I don't care about that. You shouldn't care about it either. God doesn't care about it. It's gone. Nobody is babysitting this stuff. There is no record in heaven that has your name on it with past sins. Understood? It's like a dry erase board up there. It gets blotted out when you bring it under the blood and repent. Got it? Okay. So one lie people get trapped in is past mistakes. They get trapped in past mistakes. Wouldn't you say that? And especially if it's hidden. So they live their whole life protecting that mistake. But here's how you take away the leverage from the enemy. You bring it to light. Put light on it. Okay, now, it happens in a couple of ways. You put light on it, meaning that you put the word of God on it. So you say, by his stripes this happened. Or the blood of Jesus has covered this. Or that's the light. The entrance of God's word brings what? Light. Okay? You have to put the word in you to bring light to the subject. Okay? Now, if there's something happening now, in the present, you need to find somebody to tell that you trust, that could help you with it, and that could help bring a solution. Don't find somebody that you confess to and that's it. You just confess to them and then they go away. There's no solution. There's no, you know. They can't forgive you of it, right? You have to know that too. Okay, only God can forgive you. I don't want to like call names and stuff of people that do that. But you can't go confess your sin to someone and let them forgive you unless you have aught against them and you're working it out together. You understand? But when it comes to forgiveness of a sin, it has to come from God. Okay? And you have to receive it from God. One of the traps of lies is expectations about you. I'm going to put it as unreasonable expectations. Okay? So if you are in a certain position or you have a certain status in your community, in your sphere of influence, and you mess up, And you know that if the truth is known about what you have done, then you will lose your status or lose your position or lose something. Then you could be tempted to live a lie so that here you're something else, but secretly you're something else. Does that make sense? That's being trapped by a lie just as much as not knowing what the truth is. So you have to make sure you live a life where you are not caught. There's nothing in your life that could blackmail you. Let's put it that way. That's the best way to put it. The enemy has nothing to blackmail you with. And that has to do with dealing with the shame factor. Shame. I mean, like, Jesus never used shame as a sales pitch. You horrid creatures, you should be ashamed of yourself. You know, whatever. But, like, shame and condemnation is not the tool of the Holy Spirit. Conviction is. But conviction requires an action from us. Right? Condemnation is like somebody putting a gun to your head and saying, confess, confess. Isn't that true? You see what I'm saying? Conviction is simply telling you the truth and having you decide if you're going to do something about it. But condemnation is beating you up with what they just discovered about you. That makes sense? And basically, whatever you are is not good enough. Ever, ever, ever. That's what condemnation is all about. Like, you are just never good enough. If we could just get a clue, like, we really have no clue. The truth we know now is so basic. You know? The truth we don't know of the Word of God, there's so much more to know. But God doesn't condemn us for what we don't know. You know, we're taking what we know and we use it. That's the whole point. We take the truth we know and we use it. We don't beat ourselves up for the truth we don't know. So if you are in that mode where you beat yourself up all the time for stuff you don't know or stuff you did, that's condemnation and that's a lie. That's a trap for your life. It keeps you bound. It keeps you in a cycle of tying you up. Okay? All right. My time is just about up. And we know in John 16:13, it talks about when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth spirit, giving spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority. I mean, really. The Holy Spirit himself doesn't even speak about himself. Right? But he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Right there is truth that we should know. We should know that the Holy Spirit knows the things to come about my future. So when the enemy comes and tells you that if you don't do this, I'm bringing this on you, and that means you're going to die or you're going to lose or whatever, that right there, just knowing the revelation that the Holy Spirit is the one that tells you the truth about your future, that alone should set you free from the lie that the enemy just whispered right there. And I have this thing I do. When the enemy says something that I know is a lie, as a matter of fact, when the enemy says anything, there's no truth in him. Jesus said there's no truth in him, right? I believe that. I believe there's no truth in him at all. So as soon as the enemy opens its mouth against me, I call him a liar and a thief. If that enemy happens to work through a person, I call them a liar and a thief. Because that's who they're operating by. Jesus did even stronger, didn't he? He told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was saying it to Peter because Peter was the one talking. It wasn't like he was saying, you know, hey, Peter, the guy behind you that's talking through you, let me talk to him for a minute. No, right away, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You have to squish a lie. You cannot give compassion to a lie. Compassion, remember, you are responsible for how you use your armor. You are responsible for how you use your truth. Do not give compassion to a lie. Don't. You need me to write that down? Do not give compassion to a lie. You understand? Because there's another trap hooked up to that. You know what the trap is called? Oh my goodness, the church uses it so much. Christian people use it so much. It is such a big fat lie. If you don't give compassion to a lie, then you're not showing love. That is such a lie. If you end up feeling condemned and like a horrible person because you just called out a liar and a thief and called them out, then you should get verses that talk about love and ask the Holy Spirit to help you know and set and free. Get the know set free on love, because somewhere it has been corrupted in your mind. Love is not about letting a liar tell you what you should do. That's not what love is. Love is about you will still give the person that was lying to you an opportunity to repent. That's what love is. Right? Because isn't that how Jesus does it for us? Isn't that how God does it for us, right? God gives, everybody has the opportunity to repent, except if they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Then it is a deal over. But God would never put a person who refuses to repent in a position to influence people. Because who are they going to influence them against? Against him. Do you understand what I'm saying? God doesn't promote within his kingdom, that is, within a church. God would not promote a man to be a pastor if he's a liar and a thief. And God doesn't say, oh, well, I better do it because he spent 10 years in Bible school and he was up late with the candlelight and he had to walk to classes. He's a liar and a thief. He doesn't qualify for God's position of pastor. Now, he might promote himself there, or man might promote him there, but it wasn't God. But is God still available to him for repentance? Yep. God still has love available that if he would come and repent, he would receive him. That's what really walking in love is about. It's not letting people change masters on you. It's not letting people come in and be a liar and a thief source and come and want to be your master. That's not what love is. And it doesn't matter what position they hold on earth, if they are out of sync with God in heaven, they don't get to hold that over you here. You see? So people can keep their position, they can do whatever. There's a hierarchy and all that protocol stuff. That's a whole different lesson. But the truth is what you are looking to follow. So somebody could sit there, they could be full of Satan, they could be all that stuff. They're having a conversation with you. As long as you don't disobey God's instruction to you, there's no problem. Yeah. But who is... You can't out-deceive the devil. He is the deceiver. That's his title. You're not the deceiver. You understand? It's not your profession. You're not a trained deceiver. But you do have the spirit of discernment. That you do have, which knows how to sniff out a deceiver. You understand? But if you've resigned yourself to just blindly, you know, think everybody else is better than you and I should listen to what they have to say because they're better than me and whatever, You're setting yourself up to be trapped. You are. And you will switch obedience in a heartbeat. You will obey what they're telling you to do versus what God already told you what to do. See? And a lot of people that do those things, they don't realize what they're doing. They're just simply, some of them are just going off experience. Some of them are going off what would be the most logical thing to do. You understand? It's not all demonic, okay? But sometimes it is. But it's your responsibility to follow God's instructions for your life. We know this because the serpent, Eve, nor Adam got any free ticket for being deceived. None of them. They were perfect. Perfect. They lived in a perfect place. They had every single thing they need, and they still disobeyed God. So even a lie to think that if everything was okay with me like it is for you, I'd be easy. It'd be easy for to believe God. That's a lie in itself. That's a lie in itself. All right, so we'll end here.